Hello, I'm Kristen Finley, registered licensed dietitian and the owner of Be Well 365 based out of El Paso, Texas. And this is our podcast, Touch of Wellbeing. So we're back for the second part of the truth about high fructose corn syrup. Today's podcast will focus on two things: how high fructose corn syrup breaks down in the body regarding non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and high fructose corn syrup's most popular vessel, sodas, also known as soft drinks. So non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is a disorder that occurs when an excess of fat builds up in the liver. Now, this can lead to a permanent scarring of the liver, which is called cirrhosis. The National Library of Medicine cites the risk factors for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease as high triglycerides, low HDL cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, high BMI or body mass index, age, hypertension, and waist circumference. These risk factors are referenced in the blog on our website. The annual meeting of the Endocrine Society held in Atlanta, Georgia this past June of 2022 revealed the following opinion as a result of numerous research studies regarding high fructose corn syrup. And I'll read it for you. Fructose is a natural sugar present in fruits, fruit juices, certain vegetables, and honey. In these forms, fructose sugars can be part of a nutritious diet. However, fructose is also a component of high fructose corn syrup, which manufacturers make from cornstarch and add to unhealthy foods such as sodas and candies. High fructose foods have been associated with metabolic disorders such as obesity and diabetes, which are the two main causes of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And this opinion is also referenced on our blog on the website. So exactly how does this breakdown occur in the body? Dr. Theodore Friedman, PhD of Charles R. Drew University in Washington, D.C., sums it up this way, quote, "High fructose corn syrup can lead to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease by several mechanisms. It can increase the amount of fat made by the liver. It can also increase inflammation in the liver and can change how the liver metabolizes glucose. It can also increase abdominal fat that can lead to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease." We found further agreement from Dr. Curtis K. Argo, associate professor in the Department of Medicine at the University of Virginia, who says, quote, "High fructose corn syrup likely sets off a number of inflammatory pathways possibly initiated by changes in the gut microbiome composition and weakening of the integrity of the gut's intestinal barrier. This may then permit microbes and toxins, such as endotoxins, to gain access to portal vein circulation and lead to increased fat deposition and liver inflammation via maladaptive fat droplet metabolism in the hepatocytes, the chief functional liver cells, in at-risk patients. In turn, this may lead to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and possibly the more harmful version of fatty liver, non-alcoholic steatohepatitis," unquote. Wow, that's a mouthful, but the bottom line seems to be the amount of fructose versus glucose in the high fructose corn syrup, which we covered in part one of this podcast. Now, I think we can all agree that limiting added sugars, especially the consumption of high fructose corn syrup, is a good thing. Now, one of our favorite beverages in America is soda, which turns out to be one of the main vessels of high fructose corn syrup. Now, according to Statista.com, they do report consumption of soda has dropped to around 38.87 gallons per person in 2018 from 53 gallons in year 2000. That's still a lot. So let's investigate soda, also known as soft drinks, just a little bit further, just for fun. The term soft drink is used to distinguish it from a hard alcoholic drink. But guess what? Soft drinks can contain alcohol. If it is less than 0.5% of the total volume, it can be considered non-alcoholic. And remember, Coca-Cola originally contained cocaine. Okay, so now the consumption is making sense, right? But that's another podcast for another day. Sodas are usually produced by injecting carbon dioxide under high pressure. And then when that pressure is removed, the carbon dioxide is released from the solution as small bubbles. Cool, huh? So soda consists of carbonated water, a natural or artificial sweetener, and natural or artificial flavoring. Some selections have added caffeine, colorings, and preservatives. The sweetener that is added is usually that pesky high fructose corn syrup. Now, although sugar-free beverages first showed up in 1952, yep, that's right, 1952, it seems like in the last few years that the calorie-free carbonated beverages have literally burst onto the market with the more popular name of zero sugar. But regular soda still outsold diet soda by about 3/4 of the total market in 2020, again, according to Statista.com. Now, in 1984, Coca-Cola and Pepsi stopped using sugar in their sodas, and they changed to the high fructose corn syrup. Because of government tariffs and import quotas, sugar had become alarmingly expensive. This change literally rocked the sugar industry, and the rest is history, as they say. Little did we know what that one change would do to the health of Americans. Now, even though just a short distance down south in Mexico, we can get a classic Coca-Cola made with cane sugar. We don't see high fructose corn syrup being removed from the majority of soda in America anytime soon. So go on and enjoy a glass of the bubbly concoction, but please practice moderation. We still only recommend 2 12-ounce sodas per week, regular or diet. Join our podcast next month for a discussion on metabolic syndrome, also known as Syndrome X. Until then, have a blessed day.